We are called to identify with the ancient Hebrews during Advent, who were sorely eager for a Messiah. They'd had the promise spoken to them generation after generation, and they waited and they waited. Some of them waited through the exile, which it looked like there was going to be no tomorrow. Some through the years of silence, the dreary span of 400 years when God did not give them one prophetic word. Had God abandoned them? It was during the harsh and onerous rule of Rome when the Messiah arrived, and only most of God's chosen failed to recognize who he was. All that waiting. Advent has another purpose besides identifying with that long duration of waiting. It's to remind us of another coming, the great triumphal coming of Christ, who will finally bring to heal all evil, and with that, a new heaven and a new earth. That's what we hold in our hearts as people who call ourselves Christian. It's a time in which we become mindful of waiting and watching. As God's people, we're supposed to have this posture all of the time. But we forget. Watchfulness recedes to the margins as we attend to more pressing matters. And this we share with our ancient forebears, I think. They thought they were expectant. They thought they were looking, but they were surprised anyway. And we risk the same. Jesus tells us that his return will be linked to great upheaval and chaos. There will be signs in the sun and signs in the moon and signs in the stars and on the earth, distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. That kind of hits home today, doesn't it? People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. The new climate report. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. I think it's a conundrum, and at least it is to me, as to why such a glorious, exhilarating, freeing thing as Christ's return should be preceded by such wretched, panicked distress. But Jesus told his followers that when such things begin, they were to stand up and raise their heads, for redemption would be nigh. Suffering, redemption. Crucifixion, resurrection. Death and life. Why must it be so? Suffering is a watershed opportunity, actually. It is the fork in the road where we make a choice. Will we react in fear and follow the path to bitterness and anger or despair? Or, as Jesus warns, start drinking or worrying too much? Or will we react in love and follow the path of faith and hope? Something certainly isn't something we should seek, but it is something we should expect and accept. Who are we going to be when it comes? Jesus is telling his disciples, expect chaos, expect upheaval and uncertain times. I don't think that Jesus was telling his disciples actually to watch for signs, even though he gave them those signs. He was telling them to watch for him. He says, be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down. Be alert and prayerful. He's telling them, and he's telling us, there's something constructive to do in such times. Be expectant. This expectation will ground you. It will help you stay intact as you live through chaotic times. Jesus was issuing a call to a spiritual orientation, to a spiritual discipline, if you will. It's a call into relationship with the one who is to come. It's not signs we're to concentrate on, it's God. I think it's possible that Jesus is saying that since the fall, the world has been in the throes of chaos and distress. Evil has had a free hand century in and century out. We trade one kind of evil, Inquisition, for instance, for another, ethnic cleansing and capitalistic corruption. Yet, as God's people, we are to be people at peace. Not complacent, but at peace. Confident in the promises of God. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. No matter how bad things get, we, our souls, that which is essential to our well-being will be protected, guarded by God's care. This watchful anticipation of God's ultimate return can be applied to the here and now as well. Advent renews this awareness in us. In the chaos that interrupts our personal lives, the mini chaos, you might say, loss, grief, betrayal, disappointments, we should be watchful for Jesus' presence, for Jesus does come to us in those times, does he not? Do we recognize his presence in those hard times? Or do we miss him because we're too preoccupied with our hurt, too fearful of a future? Can we embrace our suffering, not with resignation, but with peace, with a settled assurance that good can rise from the ashes and that life does follow death. That's the kind of waiting that is Advent waiting. Naming the pain, not letting it overwhelm or unsettle us, but to rest in the assurance that Jesus will come and there will be light and life on the other side of our darkness. That we will enter into this in this season and then take it as our assurance in the days that follow. Rise up when you see signs and watch. Amen. So let us sing. It's in your green book, the Worship and Song on 3047, and it's called God Almighty, We Are Waiting. It's not the words we haven't visited very often, but the hymn tune should be familiar to you, so you might want to actually use the book if you don't want to follow on the screen. Let us stand.